This is the Sexual Inclusion Network. With your host, Christiane Bella. Sin is in.
Hello, people of the world. Thank you for being here this wonderful evening. I am here with you tonight, Christiane Bella. This is the Sexual Inclusion Network, brought to you by Intimacy Architecture, helping you to build a life you love. So tonight, I guess starting with a trigger warning, because this is a sensitive topic, we are going to talk about sexual healing, sexual abuse, and obviously in a mindful way, but just an FYI for you who are tuning in and listening. With me this evening is Radiance Tyler, who is the co-founder of Lighthouse Effects, a space where emotional literacy is being taught, and art and all these wonderful tools and modalities are being utilized to help the healing process and to help break cycles. And I am so very grateful to have you here tonight. Thank you for being here.
I'm grateful to be here. Thank you for having me, and thank you for offering this platform so that people can start to gain tools and insights and wisdom to be able to nurture what's going on internally so that we can help to shift and really close the old cycles of abuse and punishment systems into mm-hmm. more nourishing systems where restoration can mm-hmm. happen. So nourishment of restoration. So like instead of mm-hmm. put down, cast out, and then it just gets swept under the carpet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm grateful to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I love restoration. That is a juicy word. That is like, I think, a big piece of this to restore. You know, it's not that you pretend that something didn't happen. It's just, how are you making it better from here?
Right.
What have you learned from what has happened?
Right.
And I think we drop in to the shame and blame. Mm. And in that we lose sight of like, how can we improve instead of exiling?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would like some things that came up for me recently. I was listening in on a conversation. A guy was talking, about shame is what the other person is casting out. Humiliation is what we ingest. And so I kind of put it in my own words there, but it's this idea that there's something that we're ingesting and holding mm-hmm. and then it creates this disparity within us,
yeah.
and this ongoing mm-hmm. disparity. And so it creates like some big blind spots.
Right.
So one piece that came up for me in sexual trauma, just to give some background, again, if you make sure that you're well sourced when you're listening to these things, like, have I eaten? Have I slept? Do mm-hmm. I actually have
the bandwidth? Right.
Yeah, the bandwidth.
This in right now. Absolutely.
So, so I feel like there's some massive leveling up happening around the world. Mm-hmm. I am sensing that that our creation energy, which was based around our sexuality,
mm-hmm.
Intimacy.
Right.
That a lot of that was flooded for an extended period mm-hmm. of time. Historically speaking, you know, it's only been a few generations that 15-year-olds weren't married off and having
right.
children, or 13
right.
having children. And in much of the world, that's still happening.
Mm-hmm.
So consciously, I don't know that we've shifted much beyond that.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I recognize that it's still, that there's still hidden
mm.
in there.
Mm-hmm.
And when there is still hidden, I think that there's still illness.
Mm.
Yeah. And so one piece that I recognize, because I grew up in this, like 70 years ago, my mom was a child in a pedophile ring. And,
wow.
and that was, when she was 12, she went to talk about it with her mom. And her mom was like, well, what do you want me to do about it? We could be out on the streets if we talk about this, you know?
Wow.
And so what were the options at 12?
Yeah.
And at 12, actually around that time in Chicago, you're expected to mm-hmm. grow up and you're expected to get yourself a job and
yeah.
pull yourself together. It was just beyond right. the war years. So they're like, grow up,
yeah.
kid.
Yeah.
There's 13-year-olds at war yeah. in other countries.
Right.
So I think that there's just this like the purification process of humanity in our creation energy, all of what was the vomit, the stickiness, the gross, all of that is rising to the top so that it can be purified now. So when I approach conversations around sexuality, sacred intimacy, sacred sexuality, what I'm looking for is what are the traumas that have happened and how do we help to bring all of our tools and resources to help transform conversations so that everyone can heal.
Oh my God. Huge work. And I think that's the piece when, you know, we come upon topics like this is it's not a simple fix. It's not like, you know, my problem is someone needs to throw the trash in the house. You know, it's like, no, this is a huge, you're talking about centuries that, like you're saying, we're just beginning to kind of really get in and clean what I consider like the residue.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you kind of, yeah, you did some surface cleaning, maybe even like opened a few closets, but like now is like that grimy corner that's gone ignored. And it's like, you have to look at this.
Yeah.
And I feel like, yeah, that's where we are. And so, you know, I would love to talk about like what are like small things, because you know, you have to see that there's an elephant in the room and then you can't try to eat the elephant all at once. or help him out. You know? I really don't want to endorse eating that elephant. But like what are the small things we can do? I think first internally, like you talked about like doing your own work. What is like one maybe tool or modality that you've found that has really helped you just kind of like begin to even think about opening that door?
Okay. The first piece for me, because it was multi-generational, I recognized I wanted to end with my generation because I have children. And this was before that, when I was 18, I wanted to have children. So the first part to me was full ownership. Like, where were the areas that I was staying hidden? Mm-hmm. When I was a child, I was molested, and then I molested a kid. And then I contacted that person and paid for them to go to counseling. And they were like, wow, you know, you were a kid, don't blame yourself. Mm-hmm. But it tore me up to know that I could have harmed another human. And the full ownership of where we are, you know, when we're making those decisions. So like, that's the full ownership first part of it, especially in a society that when I was a kid and I molested the kid, what I heard was, because it was just starting to come out of the closet a little bit, what I heard in society was all those people should die and they should just be shot. And I was like, oh my gosh, if I talk about this, if I can't even go get help because I'm destined to hell. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I didn't even have a choice, you know?
Yeah.
And well, that's not fair. I did have a choice. I made the choice.
Yeah.
But as a child.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like the first big piece. So the first big piece was, I'm willing to even go to prison in order to make sure that this heals. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to do whatever it takes in order to make sure that this heals. The second piece was then reaching out and paying for a person to get counseling for themselves. Before that, I got counseling for myself. Mm-hmm. Like, I went and I did a lot of 12-step work and worked years to be able to come up with the language. One of the pieces of 12-step is unless it will cause harm to somebody else.
Right.
And so I was like, oh my gosh, if I talk about this, what if it actually causes harm to the other person? But I prayed about it and I just kept hearing no.
Yeah.
No.
Right.
If you're coming from a place of goodness within your heart, then all that will come out of this is goodness. And it's important to not let that be the reason why you're not taking full ownership in order to make restoration within humanity. So I did that. And then the next piece was a lot of tantra healing. Because I recognized that it was this hidden piece generationally that had been wounded. So I did this deep healing work, and the tantra teacher asked me, you're in the room today with a child. what is your, you're in the same scenario, what happens? And I'm like, well, I picked the kid up and we walk outside and that's it. Yeah. And she's like, that's the person that you are. And so she's like, mm-hmm. I think helping to decipher in our minds what's going on with that. And I recognize like the people, I can't speak for all, and mm-hmm. I would never imagine speaking for all, but what I'm imagining is happening is that there's a desire to reconnect to our innocence. Mm-hmm. And again, this is a really, really dark, like subject material, but instead of thinking that, I'm careful here because I recognize this is a very dark place for a lot of people. So I would just ask that everybody breathe for a minute here. And I'm only putting out in a purity of heart space. My question is what people are going after when they went after children, the recapturing of trying to recapture innocence that was lost within them, mm-hmm. for the people who are fractured humans. And so that's my question, you know, like, yes, you can take a bullet, you can kill off all of the people. But for me, the amount of people that I know that were molested, mm-hmm. I would say that in all of my years of living, honestly, maybe less than 20 people in my life that I've come across that weren't molested.
Right, right.
The majority of them are not talking about mm-hmm. it, and they don't know what to do with it, and they feel terrible about it. The majority of them that were playing doctor with their cousins.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, then there was this incident with my cousin. We were kind of playing doctor, and I don't know. And then that leads to, like, in the 80s, mm-hmm. the every Friday night was a gauntlet of trying to, like, the messiness of our creation energy and of our sexual energy. So for me, like, the first tool is full acceptance of all parts. Right. Of who I am. Second is full restoration mm-hmm. of all parts of mm-hmm. who I am. Third is full restoration for those who mm-hmm. whom I may have harmed. Fourth is full restoration to family lineage mm-hmm. in all cases.
Wow.
So those are like the four major components for me on what I was willing to do in order to help shift mm-hmm. humanity and really start healing what I believe is one of the largest traumas upon humanity.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I can count on one hand how many people in my life who I know who have not been abused in some way. It's probably 80% or more of the people that I know that fall in that. Some version of this is my story.
Right.
So, you know, I love the idea of, I'm kind of going in because I feel like there are these pieces of us that got cracked open in that process and learned about things that our bodies weren't ready to learn about. And in this need to fill that crack and fill that void, you know, I get this idea that, yeah, that it isn't maybe inherently that child, but this idea and what that represents, like you're saying, this innocence. And that's where I feel like, you know, a big piece that we haven't talked about, I think, in time and time again, when this came up with the Catholic Church, when it came up with gymnasts, it came up with that football. I mean, I feel like we've seen it. And like every time we go in, like you're saying, with these guns ablazing, like we're going to kill them and castrate them. And, you know, and that violence is part of this cycle. And so we can't heal the way we went in. You know, you got to kind of like change it up. And I think the healing begins with holding a space for someone to say, like you had for you. And a very similar thing happened to me, you know, where like a healer was like, okay, like really be, you know, that isn't inherently who you are. That was like a glitch in a moment. It was a reaction. It was not your authentic self.
Hmm.
And really needing to make that distinction. And I think if more and more people had that opportunity to go in and like really look, they would see that, yeah, this is part of a cycle that just like, you know, don't know where to go.
Right.
And the more shame you feel about what is wrong with you in this, like, you know, horrific thing that people would burn you at the stake for, the more you hide and the more you hide, mm-hmm. the easier I feel like it's, you know, you kind of get down. Like you think about what we do when we hide, we physically get small and we get down and we go on, you know, go in that dark, dark corner. Mm-hmm. And the more we do that, we really kind of do like sink into this place of despair, where I think, you know, we don't know what to do. We already feel like the monster.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think sooner or later, you know, something cracks.
Mm.
And I feel like holding a space to find out what that is so we can prevent it.
Yeah.
I feel like we've spent most of our time in like the aftermath,
right,
damage control.
Right.
And I want to know, what can we do to prevent this? And I feel like, yeah, there not being secrecy around sex and sexuality is a big piece of that puzzle for sure.
Yeah. I think, you know, there's a number of things for me. Number one is, for the people who are willing to heal, and for the people who are willing to do like full ownership, not in the narcissistic way, not in that platform.
Right.
Because I wasn't, the reason why I was seeking forgiveness was on behalf of, I wanted it all complete.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wasn't asking the other person to forgive me because of needing that.
Mm-hmm.
I did it because I needed to clean up my shit.
Yeah.
And so, so I think that that's like the first, mm-hmm, core piece. I had recognized that the abuse was generational. I had recognized that it was on my grandfather and my aunt, mm-hmm, on my dad's side, and then my mom on my mom and her,
right,
and her family having her in right, that on my mom's side. Also, Catholic priest that, mm-hmm, we didn't know that was in the family that also was moved from place to place.
Wow.
So it was just so pervasive.
Yeah.
So what are like the key components? First of all, I think one of the key components is recognizing the prolificness of it,
mm-hmm,
and,
yeah,
how that is one of the ways, mm-hmm, that it stayed sustainable,
yeah,
for such an extended period of, mm-hmm, time. The second piece was, am I willing to do all that I can in order to bring complete healing,
yeah,
here, not stopping midway,
mm-hmm,
not being in the place of hurt, anger, sad, scared,
mm-hmm,
and justified, very justified.
Mm.
So that's the first part of the process.
Right.
You're very justified,
oh, yeah,
and very expansive there, but there's more.
Yeah.
And so how, yeah, do I use my anger, my rage,
mm-hmm,
my sadness in order to create really healthy boundaries? And in order to get really succinct in the way that I speak to people and that I direct my energy so that I'm no more wavering in these spaces.
Yeah.
That's a bit heady. I suppose more in my body is, what is the gentle path to heal here,
mm,
in the darkness?
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. And how do I start like authentically showing up on more shows,
right,
being willing to speak up and just say, there's more to it and how can we heal?
Right.
And I'm not talking about the people who identify themselves in a category that they're there. I'm talking about the people who truly genuinely see that there has been trauma that has,
mm-hmm,
been created and that genuinely want to come to a place,
right,
of no longer creating trauma, that they're,
mm-hmm,
actually genuinely interested in the desire of the protection of children,
mm-hmm,
keeping the innocence alive in society,
yeah,
nurturing innocence, and gaining intimacy in terms,
mm-hmm,
of young people being able to say no.
Right.
Young people not being drawn into the porn industry,
mm-hmm,
before the age of 13, you know, because,
yeah,
they're so inundated. So it's like, how do we really start, once that door heals,
yeah,
the desire to make children,
mm-hmm,
see that kind of stuff, those doors,
right,
start to close as well. So it's a natural progression of intimacy first,
yeah,
learning the innocence of holding hands,
mm-hmm,
with somebody, the,
yeah,
tenderness of giving hugs,
mm-hmm,
and the genuine delivery system of our creation energy.
Right.
That was a lot.
That's so powerful. I love it. It's so good. And I think it's important, you know, you've mentioned a few times, yeah, this idea of creation energy, because I feel like, you know, that is at its root what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can turn it, yeah, into sexual energy, into creative energy in the form of like art that we make. It can be very playful. It is our childhood energy. And so it's just like, how are you channeling that mm-hmm. energy? And I feel like it's the same with, you know, the anger and all that. That's momentum. But I had to be there. I definitely had to be, like you said, in that justified place.
Yeah.
But it's a matter of going through all of the layers.
Right.
I remember I definitely went through like a big revenge layer, and a deep victim. Like, I feel like that to me was kind of this last piece that I have finally like peeled off that skin of needing to stay there, because I thought if I knew every corner of the victim world, I was somehow protecting myself from it ever happening again. Mm-hmm. And that,
there's
as
tenderness.
I come, yeah.
Yeah, there's a tenderness mm-hmm. to it.
But yeah, I really feel like I've come to find like what I was doing was staying trapped in that castle that I wanted so badly to escape from.
Right.
And so it took me a while to come around to this place of trust in the great scope of things that, like you're saying, like through these boundary settings, through these things, like my body right now is safe, and how do I create that space everywhere I go? How do I create a space where children and other people, you know, feel safe, because I am willing to be accountable. I am willing to be accountable to my actions. And I loved you mentioned the 12 step. Cause even if, and I think this is so important, people hear 12 step and they're like, I'm not an addict. It does not matter
about that.
This is some brilliant introspective stuff. You go in and you're making lists of your resentments. You're making lists, it's like a internal, like you said, you know, you keep your side of the street clean, and it's kind of this like internal washing of the brain and washing of the old stuck stuff that needs to get forgiven.
Yes.
I feel like it's a go through and where have you not forgiven kind of inventory.
Right.
And that's been hugely healing for me to clear a lot of this.
Right.
Yeah.
It was my first step, I think, for like soul work was 12 step recovery.
Yeah.
Because I appreciated that, number one, it was all about me, how I was going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, it was my time and my energy, but it didn't cost anything other than my time and my energy. So, and then I remember getting the book, A Gentle Path Through the 12 Steps, which it took a year. It was a workbook, and I took a year and I went through it. And then I met with my sponsor at the end of it.
Yeah.
But it was so thorough that I loved revisiting that space, because for me, for the purification process, I'm always in kindergarten.
Mm.
You know, like I get to a certain level and then I'm like, I've made it. I've graduated kindergarten. And then I'm right back in. And, you know, the fairy tale story, the victim cycle, the white knight or the knight, doesn't even have to be a white knight, but the knight thing, like, come and rescue me. You know?
Yeah.
And just this buildup of somebody else can come and rescue me from me doing the work for myself.
Right.
And I think that that's the tenderness of I love that you said that, you know, finding all of the corridors in the victim, because then when I see it in other people, I have empathy for that, because I'm like, you're doing it, man. You are on the road. Mm-hmm. This is part of that road.
Right.
And I really also recommend coaches, tantra teachers, like people who get it. I recommend, and I love, I know that you work with people through tantra. I love you and
all
that you do. You're very safe. The other people that I love are Freddie and Elspeth out of Chicago, Tantra Nova, very safe. I'm a love coach, so I can help people, you know, get into the place of full ownership.
Yeah.
But I highly recommend like coaches and specifically geared here.
Yeah.
And I also recommend 12-step, like just that one workbook is amazing.
Absolutely.
If you don't want to talk about it with anybody and you just want to start.
Yeah, it is. It is like the most inexpensive therapy you can possibly, is the greatest.
If you do the work.
And that is where it gets tricky. You know, I definitely, it's uncomfortable work. It's, you know, they're not fun conversations. So thank you, first and foremost, for being here and being willing to be in temporary discomfort or have the conversation that is challenging, because it makes us look at the shadow of ourselves, like what happens when we really separate from that place of caring about another person's safety and body and autonomy. And sexuality is such a power, you know, intimacy, these things are so delicate, so tender. And to be able to, you know, think that you have some sort of right to take that from someone, mm-hmm. Or to feel so empty that you feel like you know, someone would feel like they need to go and do that. You know, it's been interesting to finally come to a place in my healing where I feel like I can actually hold space for that now. Like I can actually have the empathy of like, wow, you know, what occurred for you to end up in this place, because this didn't just happen. You didn't just like wake up like this.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and how do we do the work here that has this ripple effect through generations?
Yeah.
And so much of it is just being willing, I think, to air out the skeletons in the closet of our families, which is not always, you know, it definitely challenges that unconditional love.
Yeah.
And this idea that, like, you know, blood is stronger than water, or family, you know. But yeah, I realized how important it was, you know, when I found out, like, an aunt of mine, and I was like, you know, mom, I'm like, you left me with this uncle. And she's like, oh, but we didn't like anything of it, you know, just really dismissive of like every family has creepy molester uncles, you know, what do you want me to do about it? Like, that's life, kid.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, no, this is not acceptable. It is not acceptable to have this nonchalant attitude
right.
towards this behavior.
Right. And what's interesting, you know, with that, now it's the leveling up with past generations.
Right.
And I always come back to, which isn't necessarily popular in conversations of today. Like there's this, it can't, you know, it's just like this, it's not popular in today's conversations, but one piece that I really appreciate mm-hmm. is that was their norm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Across the board.
Yeah.
That was their norm.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't go to somebody's house that probably didn't have
right.
somebody that was like that in their house. And so, like, I remember growing up and the things that I heard were, you can't trust men and always dress appropriately because men can't control themselves.
Wow.
And that was it. And that was like,
yeah.
And good luck.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. so what I found intriguing about that was, in my life, the men that I know, I can trust.
Right.
The men that I love, I can trust, like across the board. But I'm also very aware of the work that I've done because I recognize that I didn't feel like I could trust me.
Mm.
And
right.
so I wonder how much of that was just built into
mm-hmm.
the underdata of the collective of people are not trustworthy
right.
because people have not healed and they haven't
mm-hmm.
owned all of their darkness
yeah.
and all of the parts of themselves that they were cast out and that they
mm-hmm.
were, that they were casting away from themselves. And that society was willing to
right.
not hold accountable
yeah.
because we were, when I think about this, okay, I have this theory,
mm-hmm.
You know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Okay.
Right. Okay. So I sense that was the basics of
yeah.
survival. Right.
Right.
I think that the next pyramid is the pyramid of thriving.
Mm.
So from survival needs to thriving
right.
needs.
Right.
And in the thriving pyramid, I believe that we have to get through all of our survival pieces and then
yeah.
we enter the thriving space.
Mm-hmm.
But you get through all of your survival by no more wars, no more wars internally,
yeah.
externally, in conversations. So when I speak, I'm speaking with the prerogative to try to establish a baseline of 50 years ago, 70 years ago, they were coming out of the war.
Mm-hmm.
They were at the bottom level of Maslow's needs.
Right.
And sexuality was not a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
That was not in the conversation.
Yes.
What's beautiful about society today is that we can finally have
yes.
these discussions.
Yes.
So for that other pyramid, that was the creepy people.
Mm-hmm.
That was the aunt that people were like,
right.
I don't want her to kiss me. I don't
right.
want a hug from that person.
Yeah.
What the hell's the matter with you, kid? Go get your hug and let's
right.
get out of here. So that was that other pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
and that we're judging from this other pyramid.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, wow, I can see that that for your generation,
yeah.
that was really your truth. And I'm so sorry that was your truth. You deserved to be nourished and you deserved to not have that experience.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd like to offer is, Mom, I'm so sorry that somebody didn't just protect you because you deserved that.
Right.
And like just kind of, softening the conversation to recognize that they literally got us through wars.
Right.
That they literally got, they got us there so that
we
had the gift to be able to speak here.
Yeah.
And I get that. Well, I won't mention the rest of it. I just recognize that so often in my conversations with people, I'm like, our grandparents got us to the tip of that pyramid.
Right. And now that
we're here. This is our bottom line now is the
five
of the thriving pyramid.
Yeah.
So anything outside of that, we're like, what the hell's wrong with you, you know? But the gentleness is, that was your other pyramid. Thanks for getting us through the war. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
So that I could live to be here today to help heal all of those generations worth of all that was hindering our ability to thrive as humanity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I love that. I love that. Yeah. Like their end line was our beginning line, and look how far we're going and how far we can still go because we are equipped now to do the work because we don't have this survival, you know, we get to be in that place of like, okay, I can actually thrive. So, you know, cause I recognize like, my ability to self-heal in the way that I have is a luxury, you know, me spending like, there were times when I did so much of my work in the bath and in like water. So I'd be like in my bathtub for like 6 hours,
right?
You know, chanting and like burning stuff and splashing and like doing all kinds of like, and I'm like, this is like a gift. Not a lot of people have, you know, the opportunity to just be like, yeah, I can take 6 hours of my day and like take this bath. And, and so that's why for me, a lot of, you know, like you're saying, it's you, but it's letting go of, it's not a forgiveness for you. It's a forgiveness for the whole like concept of it, you know, that you forgive its existence and thus you are forgiven and thus you can, you know, and that, yeah, that's been a game changer for me is the really what, I mean, cause it's forgiving. Like you're giving, like it really is a gift.
Yeah.
We, you know, at least I did. I got very stuck on, well, they don't deserve it. They're not sorry. And it's like, no one has to be sorry.
Yeah.
It's just this idea of like, how are you opening? I feel like the giving is so much, you know, how are you opening?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
In order to just, again, like let that light through and, you know, let the light come into that corner of that closet.
Right.
So that you're not holding this anymore because it's just too heavy. I think, you know, we realize like where we are now is like, we keep trying to be like, okay, well, we, you know, we kind of cleared up the Catholic thing. Oh, well, we kind of cleared up this Bill Cosby thing. Well, we cleared up, and it's like, no, you haven't cleaned the root. It's like this like nasty blackhead or something. It's like, yeah, you know, you kind of popped it, but that really didn't get, you got to like dig in there and like get some serious.
One of the things that I did at Lighthouse Effects, because I had stalkers. So I shut down my band page. I shut down all of that. And I prayed for a while. And I was asking, like, how do we get rid of the pedestals of people?
Mm-hmm.
How do we, like, take them off the pedestal? Because nobody likes being up there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If they do, then it isn't for long that people enjoy that space because it's a place of isolation. How do we bring people down from there?
Yeah.
And how do we offer more of a platform for humanity and community? How do we start building that? One piece is that we're not looking at the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
We're not looking at whoever the name is.
Right.
What we're looking at is, what do I do to clean up all of me?
Mm.
Because the minute that I do that, then all of a sudden I can hold space for 60 people, 100 people, 50,000 people in order to be in a place of I'm grateful for this period of time in my journey. I see that there was a lot of work that needed to be done. I am not charged up around the spaces of stuckness anymore. I am here to give what I can, the tools in order to heal.
Right.
And then it takes the discussion off of others and places it into what can I do to bring healing to humanity in some of the deepest places that I sense for me needed to heal on behalf of my lineage. And that's the shift that has happened in my conversations, is that they're there in those places because people weren't, the more that, no, I can't, I don't want to blame people, but the more that I'm able to do my work, my internal journey, the wholeness of it, and that I'm quiet with only a few people to be able to truly process what's going on. Like I'm not out there in, when I'm in my crap,
I'm
not out blasting everybody. What I'm doing is I'm figuring out my crap. I'm getting with other counselors and other healers and figuring out how the hell do I heal this? And from there, I'm not vomiting. That it's catching, you know, it's catching that, that flu, that toxic flu. So when we're in it and we're like, bleh, and then you bleh, and bleh, and sorry, I don't know if I can swear on here.
Oh, you
but,
totally.
Okay. But like all of that. And then everybody else is holding that energy space for us. And it just, it's compelling. It's a high level of energy. It's a high level of intensity. And that's where our creation energy is going versus I'm dropping in. I get with like a core team of four people. I commit to a year's worth of work. And I say, it's not going to move beyond these walls. Please hold this as a containment field while I freak the fuck out and while I throw major wobblies. And then the next piece is I own all of my shit here. And then what damage have I done with my mouth? You know, with the bad speaking of others, the toxicity. And how much different that is on the other side of that. Because once you get to the other side then, it's, I truly have a game plan moving forward where I'm considering what this is going to look like on behalf of the space that I want to hold for all humans so that everybody can heal here. And then people can come in and they can be like, I've got something that I want to tell you. I've got my partner and they've been wanting to heal, but they've never had a way to be able to talk about it. Do you feel confident enough to sit with this person? And I can say, you know, no, but I know a therapist, you know, depending on the level of whatever, but I know people that can get you the resources that you need so that you can heal. Because do we want, truly, do we want punishment? That's one tiny piece. And it's so needed. It is important. But what the punishment is trying to tell us is I didn't get to express my boundaries before this. I didn't get to have a voice here. And when we can actually have a true, pure voice, it transcends our heart.
And, you know, it's, I think it's this idea of it's easier to crucify and have a bad guy, a scapegoat. And not to say that people, you know, absolutely accountability, but collectively, we go to that place rather than say, what was my role in this? Because we all have a role in it.
And it may not like,
And it may not look the way, it's not that like you directly did something that you would consider wrong, bad, or malicious, but there is this trickle down effect, you know, and it, you know, I think about my grandmother and how my grandmother knew about these things and she didn't say anything and so on and so, you know, but I get, you know, that, that they were doing the best they could because of where they're emotional, you know, and now, so here we go, okay, so we've learned this much more. So now I get to do this deeper work so that if I'm aware of something, I feel safe enough to go say, I'm, you know, I would like to hold space for you. What would you like to do? Do we need, you know, how do we take the next step to stop this from happening? And how do we get this person, this perpetrator, help and support you know, and not just like throw them away. Because anytime we make, I think, any human being disposable, that's where we start to cut off the parts of ourselves. And, you know, and so we, the fear and the judgment creates this separation where we feel like so already full of shame that we can't show up. And I feel like in those places, we're likely to make bad judgments because we feel abandoned. You know, and so if you feel that abandoned and not alone, you feel like you have nothing to lose, you know.
Cut off.
Right.
And I totally get the cut off. You know, like there's, if you don't have community and you don't have tools, you don't have support, you don't have practices, there's no way to let the rest of it in. It, I think a key piece of it is you have to have a community of people who are safe, who have done the work in order to do that. And again, I recognize that these conversations are less than 30 years old. So think about infantile stage. Humanity. And in, very, very, like there's a few resources here and there. And you brought up a really good point about the person who can't apologize. And one piece that I recognize in the people that can't apologize is that when we create a society where people feel safe owning their shit, then they're able to come to the table with self-reflection. But until that time, there are very few people right now who are willing to do that really deep work in order to help transform their lives. So what I'm hoping, like most young people that I know now have not been molested. Because so many of the parents were like, I'm so done with this. I'm going to get counseling and this will never happen again. Which created like the helicopter parents and what time were you at? Which is awesome because everybody made it through, you know? And so I feel like that generation of people will be like, oh man, let's do this. Let's have these conversations. How can we help? Because they made it through the purification process. They've been able to keep that. And then there's other pieces I'm sure that have filtered through, but it's a lot less than the, like the 70 ton bag. Like these generations have done. And so I sense that this next generation, like I have my 12 year old right now is learning emotional literacy. I learned it. I'm in my 40s, so she's already got the language at like 12 years old. Like I'll listen to her on the phone and she's like, you know what? That's really one of my strong boundaries. And that doesn't feel very safe. I'm like, damn.
Awesome.
So it's gorgeous because we can bring these skill sets to help stabilize humanity. And really then their creation energy, the things that they're going to be able to manifest and create from here, astounding because they've been able to have a purification cycle within them. So yeah, I just recognize that if people don't feel safe enough to say, I'm sorry yet, wait three generations. People are coming to this place of deep empathy, but it actually takes practice, tools, community, learning how to do it. And so, you know, that's why I teach what I teach. So that people can be like, oh, I was really disconnected there. Sorry, I was an asshole.
And that it doesn't, these momentaries, and I love wobbly, by the way. I'm so using this becoming my thing now. That in those moments, that isn't who you are. That was a reaction you were having. That was an emotional experience you were having. It does not define you as a being. It does not now decrease your worthiness. You don't get like minus points, you know. And I think if we can be in that place of like, okay, that was this moment. And for that, you know, I'm going to look and see like, well, what is this moment a pattern? Is there a pattern of these moments? Well, where does that pattern come from? What was the story behind that pattern? And we are willing to look at it in a space that's like, okay, I figured it out. I realized that it has nothing to do with, you know, whatever, taking the trash out. I don't know why that's fine. That's for today. But yeah, that it was about some deeper thing, you know, my mom not being, you know, and we can go back and see that, then we can like every moment, I feel like it becomes pregame work then, like before we even get to that reactionary place, we're like, oh wait, I feel it. I feel that. To me, I see it in my brain almost like a drop of dew on a spider web, it like zip, 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 and it connects the pieces.
Yes.
You know, if you can catch that moment where it's like, oh, I feel that emotional story kicking in. It wants to drive the train right now of thought, but I'm going to like pause it and be like, no, we're going to take a deep breath. We're going to be here. We're going to realize like, you know, what this is, what's really happening and how do we self-soothe. And but it's a skill set and it's not one we're taught, right? Like you said, you know, I'm 41. I just started doing this, I don't know, maybe like less than 10 years ago. It's incredible.
Yeah.
So, it's
the other piece that I wanted to add was if you're going down this path, because of what's going on neurochemically, as often as possible, try to do it sober. That's my, like, even if you just commit to the next 10 years, 2 minutes a day, try to do as much of it as you can with a sober mindset. And then if you're doing any of the, after you've done like the sober mindset for a while, dropping in at, with a community of people that you feel safe with. But I recognize how often people are drinking and using, and then they're trying to talk about it, but they're still, but their brain is not in a place of purification. So the work just stays like the hamster wheel.
Yeah.
And you know that you're on the hamster wheel if you can't get beyond here, if you can't get beyond story, if the, if your brain just keeps shutting you down. And so that's why, you know, there's like, there's classic therapy, there's classic, like there may be things that are going on that need some more additional support with a bigger team of people. But I always recommend as often as possible to do this work in tiny, tiny doses sober, because that is where you're with gentleness, with like ahead of time, if you're doing any of the deep work, I highly recommend like great music ahead of time. Like,
charge you.
If there's some really deep stuff, don't stay there for more than 6 minutes in the day. And then also if touch is like something that was disarming for you, try and like imagining just gently holding yourself. If touch was not safe, imagine gently holding yourself and asking ahead of time, is it okay if I hug you? And like just imagining that. So there's just these tiny, tiny little pieces that start helping us rewire our brains. Another really good tip is that I learned at a big tantra event out in Hawaii was start asking ahead of time if like if you're used to giving hugs to people, just stay apart from people and just give yourself a hug and say, can you just hold me from here? And people are like, what are you talking about? And they're like, can you just like do this? Because so often if our spaces were invaded, then we're like, we're just used to like blowing it. And so instead, like actually practicing, what do my boundaries look like here?
I had to really train myself to not be in dangerous, unhealthy situations because they seemed so normal. And it took me a really long time to be like, you know, my body, like I had quieted that part of my body that was like, hey, we don't like this. This doesn't feel good. Please stop this. Like get us out of here, you know, for so long that it took me a while to be like, oh, that's right. And I'm listening to you now. And I'm noticing that. And I, you know, for me, I check in with my sensory system. And that's a big thing I teach, especially because a lot of people that I work with are on the spectrum. And it's like just really going into your senses and checking in like one point at a time to really kind of like assess like, okay, you know, can I see something? Does that, you know, help me feel safe in my body, grounded, and so on and so forth, and kind of just going through all of those pieces. So we have a little less than 10 minutes. I love what you said about, the touch self-soothing. I know you do a technique that you call like soft touch.
So Mark Waldman is a neuroscientist, one of the leading neuroscientists in the country, and he talks about like just gently thinking about like the gentleness of the day. So if you go in, don't go in really deep for more than 6 minutes. If it's something hugely traumatic, don't do more than two. Don't do more than 2 minutes at a time. And gently like just go into observer role. Like, wow, I really see that. What would have been a voice that would have been really helpful here? And one book that I love is called The Soul Recovery Technique.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Love that book. I highly recommend that book. It teaches about brain about how to repattern the brain so that if you're stuck in a loop memory, right, you get to go back in and revisit yourself right before that event happened, that wounding event happened, and then repattern your brain with like a gazillion other choices. Yeah. And you could just keep going back to that moment so that your brain doesn't stay in the cycle of that happened and the continuation happened. Mm-hmm. It goes, no, that happened and I chose to get ice cream. That happened and we chose to go for a drive that day. So I really love the brain science and the neuroscience of how to help shift that.
Absolutely. That's like neuro-linguistic programming. Yep. EMDR, the eye, those have also been huge. And I think it's, you know, like go explore, find, you know, all the tools and the support that you possibly can, and just see, you know, what is resonating for you in that moment. Because as I think you go through each layer and each facet of this, like a different tool. For me, chanting was a big thing because there was so much, because a lot of my stuff is pre-verbal. Or when I did come forward and say something, like, it was dismissed. So getting to chant and use a different language, hitting different trigger points on the roof of my palate of my mouth that hit different parts of my brain waves, using these, like, more primal sounds, this more ancient language, was really healing and, like, kind of getting out of the story and just expressing,
right,
just like my voice is heard,
right,
it is valid, my truth, you know, this other form of sound, all the like crying for, you know, just really feeling like I could like let it out. That was huge. Process.
Wailing.
Yeah.
I like going in, whenever I do wobblies, I try to like go into a car wash.
Oh, that's brilliant. Oh, my God.
And then I've been like, brilliant. You know, it's just because it's all being washed away.
Right.
It's usually violent, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm in this safe little vessel container, and I'm like, and thank you for getting me through this process. And you're just kind of like, you're in it. You're being guided along. All the stuff's being kind of like jingled out of you. And then you get to the other side, like, you know, like the vents come on. Mm-hmm. So it's just like this.
I love it.
Like, it's a good way for nothing to be held.
Right.
You know, that it all just kind of is a purification process. So, I just want to say, like, wherever you are on the healing journey, I'm always around and I'm always offering like shows and everything. Get your community together. I just really invite that. And that if you're hearing this for the first time, you're not alone. It's like at least half the planet.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
And moving, like leaning away from isolation and leaning in towards vulnerability, purification, and tenderness, that it is possible to have that support team with you. And thank you for even being willing to consider this, or for not, you know,
recognizing that that's your boundary right now.
And
that's totally fine.
That's beautiful.
Absolutely.
Wherever you are, I honor that process.
Thank you. Thank you so much for showing up and for the work that you do. It is just like, you feel it. Like, just when you talk about it, I'm like, oh yeah, it's like some like really good, like get in the gut of it work, but with such gentle love and tenderness. Like, so I love that. I think that is just such a big part of the balance, is that you are willing to, you know, okay, you're going to go into that wound, but gently, you know, and make sure you have all the salve and everything that you need to help process that.
Yeah, my end goal for humanity is healing, you know, across the board.
Right.
It isn't about just acceptance. It's like, that's one version, you know, that's one piece. But the rest of it is, what are we doing to transform and shift?
Yeah.
To really, like, so that in 7 generations from now, it's unimaginable the miracles that we'll be able to be beheld and beholden upon the planet. Like, we can't even imagine the miracles that will be upon us, and they're already here. It's just nurturing that and bringing Thank you, 90 seconds. Thank you.
I know, adorable accent. Yeah, I feel that way too, that we've only begun to kind of like open that eye to see what is possible. And we are, you know, planting seeds now for fruit that, you know, like you're saying, generations from now will have this. I think the way, you know, I look back at this idea of like having to go outside to use like an outhouse, or like people throwing their like, out their window, and you would just like, no one would do that. I dream of a day when people were like, someone did what? Like, oh my God, no one would ever do that, you know? And it's just really becomes this like archaic idea of like, So yes, prayers and love, and yeah, wherever you are on that journey, you know, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. May all love surround you. Thank you all for showing up, for sharing this, for being willing to have these conversations. Truly, truly, truly. I believe that, you know, a big key to all of this is getting past the secrecy and being willing to be heard. So thank you for listening to us. And you can find Radiance Tyler on Facebook, Lighthouse Effects. I am Christiane Bella, and this has been Intimacy Architecture. Thank you so much.
That was awesome.